Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds. Lawrence?
Give me a giant fucking hammer and smash me in the head!
It is with nerds, that helps a lot.
Maybe the bad, bad thing.
What?
Maybe the bad, bad thing. Maybe the bad, bad thing. Maybe the bad, bad thing.
Oh, God damn it, Aaron. You thought your little heart was gonna break in two. I didn't think so. You ever try with all your heart and soul to get your lover back to you? He's crying in the shower. Neighbor! Who says neighbor?
Hello, welcome back to the Brotherhood of Batman. I am Ben, the baby brother and your sunshine into Gotham.
No, I'm Jake. I'm the middle brother. I'm the one that came with the crazy list of comics that we read through each week, except for this week.
That is very fair. I'm Aaron. I'm the oldest out of us. I produce this mess. Thanks for tuning back into the Brotherhood of Batman. We are three brothers who read Batman DC books somewhat in a continuity order and just have a fun time talking about the Dark Knight and all things related to that universe. How are you guys doing?
Good. Great. Living my best life. How are you?
Living your best life? Great. Great.
I'll start.
What's been going on?
Your geeky little world, guys. Stop talking
about comic books or what I'll do you think you're doing, you. Nerd? Stop
spending. Get the nerd! 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 Or I
swear to God, deep. You're gonna spend your 20 deep. Years alone. Geek.
I mean, I'm the Batman of geeks, bitch.
Well, I finally finished my beautiful video game. It was everything I wanted and more. I cried a lot and I put
What game were you playing?
Oh, yeah, shut up. I was playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth and it was beautiful. It was fun. It was everything I wanted. But what I want to talk about today, I just had to get that in there, obviously. What I want to talk about today, I'm going on my 17th vacation of the year in a couple days.
I really believe that's probably the accurate number.
It's like our fifth vacation, whatever. It's fine. But we're going to Portland. We have friends and one of our godchildren lives in Portland. And I'm sure I talked about this a couple years ago when I went last time, but I'm very excited. Portland has the largest independent bookstore, in like America or the world. I'm not sure, but it's huge. It's called Powell's.
Really?
Are you guys familiar?
No, I know about Portland is the big drug issue and all the homelessness, but that's all I know.
Yeah, that too. So we're going to hike and we're going to go to a bookstore. That's basically what's happening. So, but the Powell's, like every room is a genre.
Oh, really?
So it's like huge and there's at least one coffee shop. I think there's two. There's multiple entrances for multiple sides of the street. It like takes up a whole block of downtown Portland. So it's very cool. I'm very excited to go back.
Sometimes your house seems like every room is a different genre. Then.
Drag me.
If you walk over here, you'll enter the jungle room where we have flying rodents that'll enjoy the space along with you.
Thank you for reminding me to turn on these lights on my green wall.
Step a little further into the Disney exploration room.
Anyways, I love an independent bookstore, and it's stuff that like you can buy anywhere, but it's just fun to like look in different places.
Yeah, I really miss having a lot more of those independent bookstores in St. Louis, like Library Limited that was out in Clayton that Dad would take us to when we were younger.
R.I. Peeking Free. That was not what I meant to say. R.I. freaking P is what I meant to say. Library Limited was the shit.
That was
it was pretty awesome.
It was multi-leveled. It was like, I think the first store that I remember going to that was split leveled.
And that was the genre room themes as well, if I recall correctly. It's been a long time.
The kids section was like designed like a castle and there was an actual moat with koi fish around the kids section.
It was super awesome. There's still a few bookstores. I mean, there's Left Bank over in Central West End, and there's a few other ones. There's a couple out in St. Charles, but it's hard to find like a decent small bookstores. That Barnes & Noble is still fun to go around. Kelly and I were there the other day, but
I like the novel Neighbor in Webster Groves if you're in the St. Louis area.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one too.
Yeah. Whoa, hello. Jungle Room just kept turned on.
What's been the Velociraptors. What's been going on with you two?
Go ahead, Aaron. As I try to think of something.
It's just been busy. Not a whole lot. Toby and I started playing. We played a couple games of that Star Wars trading card game.
Nice.
So oh, it's kind of
fun. Yeah. Yeah, we bought a few packs here and there. And so it's been a little fun. We haven't played much. We haven't had time. But other than that, it's been pretty good. Just doing a lot of appointments for physical therapists and doctor visits and all that fun stuff when people are sick or needing all that. So that's a great time.
Sounds like a hoot.
Were you guys able to figure out Star Wars pretty well from the starter decks?
Oh, yeah. It wasn't hard. I mean, there's YouTube tutorials, and it's very similar to mechanics on other games. And there was a Star Wars game that we had a bunch of, Star Wars Destiny, which was like the
I've heard it's a lot like version. That one.
Yeah, that one had dice involved, and so this one doesn't.
Cards
so.
And dice?
Mm-hmm. Cards and dice. Each pack of that expansion, Destiny, came with one card that had dice tied to it, and the dice would determine some of the different actions and attack and defense that characters would do.
So Aaron and I went on a trip out to see Weird Al Yankovic and stayed at a hotel, and we brought a bunch of games to play after the concert. Well, I drank way too much, and Aaron tried to teach me Star Wars Destiny. I had no idea what the fuck was happening. I'm pretty good with games. I play a lot of games, and I could not follow it. But the new Star Wars, is fun. Oh no, I was that is all I remember of Star Wars Destiny is not understanding a word that was coming out of
sometimes,
your mouth.
Okay, so that was your own choices that you made. But sometimes learning games is hard. Like it just doesn't click. Like if you have to be ready and really want to learn, I'm not great at learning new games. I have to really be in the mood. And sometimes it's hard, like, scheduling. Like, Josh and I will schedule a game night, and then people get here, and I'm like, babe, I don't want to play a single game. Like, can we just do Jackbox or something? Like, I can't do a single, like, board game where we have to explain this to people.
I need either to read the rules myself, or I need to have somebody who knows how to play, like, actually knows
who's
how to play.
Who's played, like, the last week,
sit down and do their condensed version of how to play the game.
Yeah, we don't play as many games at home as I'd like. I mean, sometimes just getting everybody together to do it, and then if it's something, like, that I have recently played, it's a lot easier. But a lot of times it's just like, let's do Jackbox, or let's do something simple that everybody can just grab their phone that they're going to have in their hand anyway.
Well, that's the nice thing about these card games. Like, we've been playing some Lorcana and stuff at home, but it...
Wait, you have?
I have.
That's Jake's Final Fantasy.
You can
right
just
now?
Pick up two decks and play, right? Like, there's not a lot of setup, and, like, if who you're playing with is in the same headspace that you guys have been playing regularly together, it's very fast to pick up a game and go. And most of those only last 20, 30 minutes. It's not a whole night commitment, you know, like Zombicide or something.
So are you playing a Star Wars game now too, Jake?
Noah's really into it. And so I played some with him out of the starter decks. And then he's building decks and going to the stores to play in a more competitive setting. That's not for me. I have tried now to, I guess I'll use that as my Weekend Geek. I've gone to a store to play Lorcana. Which is my first in-store gaming experience.
Yeah, how was that?
In 41 years of being a nerd, other than going to one pre-release, I've never gone to a store to play in like a gaming.
It's like you literally ran.
It's what I do professionally, right? Like, I'm involved in all this, but I don't play.
So, like, back at the comic book store when you worked as a 16-year-old, you
never sat down to play any of those.
Oh, I did. Weird.
Yeah, I did not. So it was fun, but I understand why I've put it off for so long and what I don't enjoy about it.
Other people?
The aromas?
Yeah. A lot of that I can get used
fragrant
to.
Fragrant man meat.
But the,
it smells like rotting worms. Continue.
It lacks, for me, the whole point in playing a game is the social interaction with the people you're playing with. And, like, I'm not the most social of the three of us. I'm not the least social of the three of us.
Aaron and I just side-eye each other.
But in that kind of setting, like, I want to be among similar people and I want to talk to them. And, like, I don't know, you're going to have to edit this down, but, like, I was not comfortable with trying to talk to people, and they didn't want to talk back, and they just wanted to, like, hammer through the motions of their
gross.
Deck. And it's like, I just want to, like, I don't care if I win or lose. Like, I'm not here for that. And they are, and yeah, so that was different.
Aw, Jake put himself out there and didn't make any friends.
I'll just play Lilo, I guess.
No, my deck was the seven dwarves.
That's the first Disney character that came
I played.
It's like the saddest one that he could play.
I do love Lilo, but how random. Lilo, the sad little orphan child is where Aaron's head is at, apparently.
Well, you know.
Dog. Yeah. Well, I'm proud of you for putting yourself out there, Jake, because I remember playing those a lot as a kid. Like, I mean, that's how I got to know Harold, our friend, and that's how I got to like hang out with my big brother at his work. Like, those were really cool, but it for me, honestly, it's probably been since I was 13 or 14. So I can, and I'm a very social person, I would probably hate it nowadays.
Well, and it could have just been the matchups. And, like, I have a weird experience.
Personality?
I do, yeah. Okay. But,
did you say appearance?
No.
Personality. Oh.
I have a weird experience when I go to those stores because a lot of them are...
Oh, you said experience. I'm so sorry. You saying experience and Aaron saying something made me hear appearance. Go ahead.
All are true, so it's fine. But a lot of them are my clients, and so, like, I go in and I know the store, and I can talk and sit there and have a one-on-one with people who have never seen me in there, and they kind of feel like maybe they have some ownership or club setting that I'm now stepping into. So I'm actually the odd man out, and, you know, it's weird. Yeah.
Did you go to Noah's work? Or
no. No, that place is way too competitive. I could not stand that. Anyways.
I don't think I'd like to do the competitive. Toby and I went once for Star Wars Destiny to game night while they were doing, like, you know, open play or buy a couple boxes or whatever. And I think we were the only ones that showed up. So
oh, really?
And this was, like, years ago, pre-pandemic. And I think we just played a couple hands. And then we were like, okay, this is silly. We can do this at the house and save some money. So.
One, yeah, I love those games. I love games and I love collecting and all that. And some of the most fun I ever had was when we used to do like hero clicks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was fun.
Where we would buy like the booster packs and then put our teams together and that kind of stuff. And so that, like, it becomes a social hangout event. And, you know, I don't know. That's what I look forward for those. But anyways.
Nice.
I like to keep, I'm going to keep playing. We're caught up in some other things right now. I have a new deck that's all about Mickey and his brooms from Fantasia. So that's fun.
Nice, nice. I think one of the starter decks I got had some of that going on, but I have not. I bought like two booster packs just to be like, let's try it. And then we were like, we have other things we could be doing or spending money on.
I have a lot of cards if you need a deck.
Oh, yeah. I'm just waiting for you to get bored enough that I can just take all your extras.
That'll be soon. No.
All right.
Talk about this book.
Yeah, so this is an Elseworlds that I said, hey, let's read something fun with Lobo in it, and I picked this instead. this is Superman vs. Lobo with Black Label. It's three small issues.
They were not small enough.
There are three issues, lots of words. It's kind of a juxtaposition of the planets of I cannot remember what Lobo's planet. I read this like seriously.
Zarnian.
Like, yes, Zarnian, and then Krypton, and this giant worm guy named Newman. I think it's pronounced Newman. Is that what
it
is?
That's how I read it.
Yeah.
And Superman Lobo gets switched, and their planets gets restored, but they get placed on their opposite planet, and it's them trying to right everything and fix it, basically, of some sort.
Okay, so I was prefaced with how trash this book was by Aaron, like, three or four times, but like, we don't have to read it. We don't have to read it. I read it. It's bad. I actually...
It might have been my mood. I might have been in a bad mood when I read it.
Enjoyed it so much more than I thought I was going to because you hated it so... I didn't enjoy it because you hated it, but I went in expecting it to be nonsensical, and I thought it was kind of... fun. I liked the ideas. I didn't love the execution. There's a lot of stuff in here. I'm like, this is too long. This is too much. But if this had been like a one shot and they'd actually like played with the good ideas they had in here, I thought there was something there.
Yeah. I get what you're saying. Like,
you don't have to agree.
No. I don't. I didn't hate it. It just... When I saw Superman versus Lobo, I was like, okay, it's going to be more of a battle of them versus each other. Mm. And it wasn't that hardly at all. They did go up against each other a little bit here and there, but it was more them on their own different planets trying to fix things, and it was just stupid.
I feel like there was a lot of, we have this black label, which is supposed to be geared a little bit more to, it's an Elseworlds where, you know, this isn't part of canon, but it's supposed to be geared more towards an adult audience. Like, we want a Superman black label story. How do we make that geared towards adults? Let's throw Lobo in. Let's get violent. Let's get bloody. Let's get over-sexualized. But a lot of those things that Lobo brings to the book, I didn't think were there.
No, it wasn't there.
That's my thing where I'm a little surprised you both didn't like this, because I haven't read much Lobo, but I remember like reading or flipping through some like when I was a child and you were both into it. I'm like, this just seems like a regular Lobo story. Like, to me, this just seemed like structurally just a Lobo book. And my issues weren't about that, but
So I was feeling when I was reading it that it was trying to be a Lobo book, and it was
failing. It definitely wasn't a Superman
book. It wasn't a Superman.
No, it wasn't.
Superman was written wild. His dialogue, I'm like, what is this, like, 20-year-old, like, he was, the way Superman was talking was not how Superman talks. It seemed too, not modern. The whole book was very today, with all the social media and the tweeting and all of this, like, cancellation.
It's lexing.
Yeah. And well, they say tweeting at one point. Like, oh, it's a hot mess. And all this Karens and cancellations. I was like, this is very... Yeah. It felt to me like a bad episode of South Park that was really trying to make a political statement, and it was kind of poking fun at every angle. And the whole point of this book was like, there's two sides to everything. I'm like, this is not super strong. Like, I wish they had leaned into that. But for me, each of the three volumes felt like a different story. Like, the first volume was really this, like, hashtag cancel Superman, hashtag cancel Lobo, whatever. And then the second part was the world switching. I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then I didn't enjoy it. And then the third part was like, Lobo betrays everyone. And what was the
He wants to make the world in his image, or where he is the hero, not the hero, but he's everybody's favorite.
Yes. And I was just like, I feel like the authors, because there were two, had too many ideas for three issues.
Yes.
It felt like it could have been a really good one shot, or maybe even, God bless, like a 12 issue where they actually get to give it the time it needs, or six. Like, three was not it for me. It felt very jarring.
Yeah, I think you could have expanded the middle quite a bit to explore the two worlds and watch them. So Krypton, so this weird, how are we going to describe Newman to the listeners?
It's like a giant, it's like a sandworm. It's like the Sarlacc, but a giant bloated worm.
That can also shrink down?
I don't know.
That to me felt extremely Lobo. Like, that felt straight out of the
Superman.
Yeah,
I mean, some of that did seem Lobo-ish, but it just didn't.
It had eyes all over
it.
Yeah,
it was weird.
And yeah, it was strange. So it's this little pink and amiibo. It looks like a fucking horror Pokemon, right? Like,
yeah.
So it's the last of its surviving race, and it decides to give the last son of Krypton and the last Zarnian the thing that they desire most, which is their world and their people back. But it gets the two of them confused, and so it brings Krypton back, it brings Zarnia back.
I thought it was funny.
And it puts Superman on Zarnia and Lobo.
Yeah, I mean, that part wasn't bad. It just was that not executed well.
That should have been correct. No, I agree.
Like, once they got there, it was just like,
yes,
it didn't flow. It didn't make sense. It didn't.
I liked the ideas. Like, if I was at the round table of chatting about this book, I'd be like, yes, love it. This is fun. And then they produced this. I'm like, ugh. And even the art, there were panels and pages was like, I love this. And the next page, I'm like, why? Like, it didn't. I feel like it was the same person or a couple of the same people.
Yeah, I think the same artist through the whole thing.
But it was multiple.
I think you could have isolated that middle story and made it all about that. Made it all about the switching of the worlds. And you didn't need the beginning or the end. You could have mixed those ideas into... You're absolutely right when you said it felt like three completely different stories. To the point that, like, I finished one issue and I'm like, I don't know where this is going. I have no idea what the conflict is we're trying to resolve. I don't know where we're headed.
Right. And when I was reading it, I was like, this doesn't make sense. This isn't what I thought. And that's when I said, you know, we don't need to read this because I was trying to find something fun. So it's kind of, you know.
Well, let's talk about the good parts of it and or trash the bad parts.
So or both at the same time.
We have Batman. Batman does show up.
That's the bad part.
I really like finding out that Batman keeps very close tabs on Lobo anytime he comes to Earth, that he feels.
I always track Lobo on Earth. It's what I do.
Okay, so this isn't Elseworlds or like the Black Label, which is adult Elseworlds. So your point about Batman makes me wonder, where are we? If this were continuity, where is this happening? Does Lois know? I kept getting the vibe that Lois didn't know until like the third book when she's talking to Batman. I'm like, okay, I'm confused.
Lois didn't know.
Superman.
Yeah, I don't.
That wasn't clear to me.
I got to look back. I thought she did, but maybe not in the first one.
It was unclear, but him telling us that he keeps track of Lobo, like there's been Batman-Lobo crossovers. But even in the new DC universe, the Rebirth stuff, like Lobo is a part of Batman's Justice League. Like when Batman takes over and leads the Justice League, Lobo's a member of it.
That seems odd because of Batman's whole killing thing.
Yeah, it is odd. Yeah.
Have they recently, other than this Black Label fun hot mess, have they kind of like neutered Lobo a little? Like when he's with the Justice League, is he more PG-13?
I would imagine he'd have to be. I haven't read any of that with him as the Justice League, but I mean, I can't see him wanting to stay unless it's for his own amusement to be there.
Well, and I think that's why this book felt a little bit off. Like if you go back to the early Lobo, like it is way over the top. It's for mature audiences only. And this being in DC's new mature audience label, I thought it could have gone a lot further with those things.
I thought it was pretty tame.
It was pretty tame.
It was very tame for a Black Label. Like I thought the Harley book that we read, Harleen, or
oh shit, that was a masterpiece. First of all,
yeah, that was a great book.
Don't bring that up in this episode.
I thought that
book was beautiful.
Way more intense, way more sexualized, way more adult than this was, and I was like, why is this in the Black Label? This could have been.
Yeah, I don't know.
This could have just been Lobo.
This could have just been a Lobo book. Yeah,
but I'm wondering if. I don't know DC's current rating system. I know that they still will put like a T on a book if it's like teen, and I don't know what they do for the everybody books, but I know there's T, but and then after T, I don't know what they do. I don't know if it just jumps up to Black Label after that. I'm not sure.
Yeah, one of the things when I picked this up and thought about it was Sarah Beatty, who's one of the writers, has done some more adult risque things, and I was like, take on Lobo will be kind of interesting. She's done like Money Shot, and it's like kind of an adult book and some other thing. I can't remember the rest of them, but she's done some writing for that.
Like comic books or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ben, you should read Money Shot. Have you read it, Aaron?
I have it. I haven't read all of it.
Would I enjoy it?
I don't know how I'm going to. I may quote the premise wrong because I don't have it in front of me.
It's been a while. It's all right.
It is a group of scientists that get funding to explore. They develop some kind of like transportation system to jump between different systems and planets. But they get funding by running a porno channel while they're there.
Oh.
And so it's all different genders and races and interests or preferences. And then they go and mix in with the aliens. And it's a fun, silly sci-fi story, but that's the Money Shot, right?
Knowing that with her adult themes, I thought, okay, maybe that the Black Label Lobo, that might be really intense, and that might be fun. But
so somebody explain the third arc, because I fell asleep reading the third part of the book multiple times. Like, multiple times.
Well,
it took me a really long time to get through this book. Aaron, no offense, I love you, and I love Lobo, but this one was rough.
Well,
in my defense, I said we should skip this nonsense. Let me pick something else.
Well, even, okay, so Aaron had been messaging us that for a while, and then Jake messaged me, like, today. He's like, have you read Lobo? I was like, have you? And he's like, it's rough. I'm like, Jacob.
That's because I fell asleep with a book on my face last night.
So,
I stopped taking notes because I'm like, I don't know what to write about this book. I'm just going to try to read it.
So to me.
That's what I was like, I don't even know where to take notes on this.
To me, the third one was getting back to the point that was brought up in the first one. That was really about the there's two sides to everything. And, you know, one perspective from one person is a good thing. Because the first book starts with like media and like Lex Luthor is keeping certain news out, which is like literally a thing that's happening today.
Yes, right.
You know, the whole fake news or whatever the hell you want to say. It was very obvious what they were doing there. And then the third book brings it back to like, is Lobo good? Can Lobo be bad? And we get a cute little end page that's like, sometimes things are bad and good. I'm like, we just read all this shit just for that. So to me, the third one was really about getting back to that. And Lobo kind of like betrays everyone. So there's another character, like a female kind of robot thing, which was really just giving me, what the hell's her name? The chick from that Young Justice Teen Titans thing we just read, the blue girl floating around.
Nebula.
Not Nebula. Indigo from the last episode or two that we read. And anyways.
Denim.
And so she was like floating around and she was studying. I thought she was interesting. She was studying the last of each kind of species thing. So that's, so I'm like, okay, that is something Superman and Lobo have together.
Right.
That makes sense to put them together under that premise.
And I like the idea of the, what was it? The League of Last Sons. That's a cool concept, but they just kind of, it was mentioned real quick and Lobo's joining this. And I was like, well, we could have had that be some kind of premise. And that would have been ended up being cool. I don't know if that shows up as a thing later or not, but
there were six ideas in here. Each of them could have been good. Instead, they did half-assed versions of all of them.
Right.
My personal favorite was Miss Tribbs, who, if you've read Lobo, you know who Miss Tribbs is. Mm-hmm. She is from the very first issue of Lobo when he got his first mini series.
Now this I did not know.
She is Lobo's grade school teacher. And when he kills all of the Zarnians, she is the last one. And he is sent on a mission to like transport her across the universe, thinking that she was already done. And that's his first intro to story. So he's now reunited with Miss Tribbs here, and she is the caretaker for Superman on Zarnia, and I thought that was hilarious.
That's fun.
That was a good throwback to some Lobo lore.
Little Easter egg for the people who actually read Lobo's book.
Well, all the Zarnians are fucking weird looking, and they're crazy, and
Well, they have his face specifically. They said they're like clones or something.
Well, they did clone him, didn't they? I don't know. I got confused.
Yeah, and they got Superman's blood by poking him in the foot because he didn't have his powers were weakened because of the sun on Zarnia.
It's the wrong sun. Yeah.
Red tint.
And he was just working like a normal peon or whatever he was doing.
He's like, I'm trying to soak up the sun to get my powers back. But it's just hard.
We got Batman stabbing Superman. That was good stuff.
With like a Kryptonian spear. Kryptonite spear.
You mentioned
need more Batman stabbing things.
I think we've said it a couple times, but I'd really like thinking of this taking place right now in our continuity. Everything's put back to normal, and this could be just a romp that Lobo and Superman are having off. And
I didn't mean in our continuity. Like today, like 2024. Mm-hmm.
Well, I like thinking of it in our continuity because in our continuity, Lex is still president.
Oh.
And him taking over the social media, like if you moved our timeline into the present time, him taking over social media and making the fake news and the cancel culture and everything.
Yes.
I was like, that makes him even more of a certain previous
presidential
person.
Yeah. Quasi. No, exactly. And I think that's a good point to bring up, especially with elections coming up.
Yeah.
All right.
Aaron. Well, I mean, review wise.
But let me ask you something. What do you think of this? Say it's
all right. That was terrible. Right. Horrendous. I'm offended. I'm appalled. It's all right.
That was
awesome.
Yes.
Yes.
No! Don't read it. It wasn't very good. I like Lobo, and I will find a better one down the road. for us to
You're allowed. One more chance. I know. One more Lobo chance.
My favorite thing from this episode was your intro song. That is like a great Lobo song. So good job. I like that a lot.
Thanks.
It was a good fit. I love Lobo. I really like most of the things that have come out of the Black Label.
Yeah, it's been a...
This one was a miss for me.
Yeah, it was a miss. Which is disappointing.
It was disappointing.
Okay. That's all right. That happens.
Very wordy. Very wordy for a Lobo and Superman book. Right?
Yeah, it just needed half the words and...
Twice the boobs and blood.
Like. And a little more clarity and direction.
Yeah.
And then it would have been all right.
So somehow I think I liked it the most out of
That's
the
really
three
weird.
Of us.
That's so strange.
I didn't like it. Don't get it twisted. I just didn't think it was complete garbage. I really do. I mean, I've said it already, but I really do think there were good ideas. There were moments, like I read most of this. Like I didn't get most of it. I didn't get to the point of just skimming like I do some of the like dark and drab. But also at this table, I'm probably the person who likes Superman the most. So I was enjoying kind of seeing like this version of Lois. And I enjoyed that she kind of like jumped into the social media thing and kind of like took that over for a little bit. I don't know. I think there is an audience for this. It is none of the three of us. yeah. But I think, I guess if you're like a moody 17-year-old and you want something quote unquote dark and this is fine. Or if you really like Superman.
It wasn't that dark.
It wasn't that dark. I don't even know. Yeah, I don't even know who this is for.
If you like giant pink worm things.
I mean, I do like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on.
What's next, Jake?
Well, if you're reading along with us, the next book we are covering is going to be Batman, Death and the Maidens.
Death and the Maidens. Is that in the Batman label?
Oh, I don't know. It's a trade paperback. Hang on.
Oh,
well, Jake, you're not prepared.
I'm prepared. I have the book with me. I didn't look up the Maidens. Issues because it's in a trade.
Is this Bruce and his... Whirlpool of fun again, or jet pool, or
well,
sauna.
Yeah, you're close. It's Ra's al Ghul and the Lazarus Pits. So
spoiler.
This is it is a maxi series, Batman Death and the Maidens 1-9 and Detective Comics 783.
And okay. Is that back to continuity, Jake?
This is in continuity for us. Yes.
Nice.
Awesome. Aaron, what did we learn today?
It's that time again.
To do another one of our cute little skits?
No, it's time to learn the day's lesson. And to find out what it is, we turn to the Wheel of
Batman.
Wheel of
Batman.
Turn, turn, turn. Tell us the lesson that we should learn.
Oh, well, Ben, you said it, but I had already written it down and circled. This is strike two with Lobo books. I got one left.
You had it written down and circled before I said it?
Yep.
Can we just read Lobo's back?
Can we?
It might be. It might
so,
be.
Aaron, did you like this Lobo or do you like Slobo more?
I think I gotta say Slobo, to be honest.
Yeah,
and
you
I
do.
I think the other Lobo book we read was better than this.
That was Batman.
Batman Lobo.
Oh, that was fucking bad.
It was better than this.
All right, Aaron, you get one more try. Do we just need to do the Christmas one? We got a couple months.
We'll figure it out.
All right. For the Brotherhood of Batman, I'm Ben, your sunshine into Gotham. And apparently I'll put up with stuff as long as Superman's on it.
I think that's the rule.
I'm Jake. I'm Mill Brother. Thanks for listening.
I'm Aaron. I'm the oldest of us. I'll try to clean this garbage up. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Hopes of bed is cleansed this city.